Okay. So last week we started our discussion on the Bishmona Esrei for Shacharis, for Shabbos, which is we discussed the middle section of the Bishmona Esrei, which is the substitute for the weekday Bishmona Esrei. The beginning and the end is all the same. The middle is what's different. And we began it last week, and so we're going to continue it now this week, and hopefully we'll go through the first paragraph, and hopefully maybe even this, we'll have time to get through the second paragraph. The reason this is, it's a great week to do this, because the second paragraph is actually found in this week's Parsha. The second paragraph, which is in the Shmoneh Esrei, is a quote from the Torah, which is also from this week's Parsha. So it also fits with the Parsha. So let's go through this. The first paragraph, we discussed the beginning of the first paragraph last week. Yismach Moshe b'manos choko. Moshe should rejoice over his gift. We pointed out that this, you know, it's hard to know exactly what the connection is between all these sentences and the theme of Shabbos, but that's what we discussed last week. There's some gift that Moshe receives that he rejoices over, and we gave a few explanations. Either it's the gift of the receiving of the Torah, and we discussed how Torah itself is a gift, not just for Moshe, but for each and every one of us, that Torah is a gift. Or the gift that he's rejoicing over is connected to the next line. Ki eben ne'eman karasalo. What is this gift that Moshe is rejoicing over? That's the gift over the fact that Hashem, the only person throughout history, refers to as a faithful servant is Moshe. Moshe is the only person that's referred to as a faithful servant. The fact that Hashem calls him a faithful servant, that itself is the gift that Moshe rejoices over. It's a high level of rejoicing over the fact that he has such a close connection to Hashem. And last week we discussed the connection that Moshe has with Hashem is like no one else. He speaks to Hashem panim al panim, face to face, and he has this intuition that he has this ability that he knows exactly what Hashem wants, and that no one else has throughout history. Other people could come close, other prophets could come close to it, but he's able to, the vision that he sees is a clear vision. When other prophets have their prophecy, so it's in a dream, they have to sleep over it, it's not clear, it's a puzzle. But for Moshe, he has that clarity where he's able to fully understand what Hashem wants. And so that is a reason to rejoice. And again, this paragraph is discussing when Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, from the mountain, to receive the Luchos, the tablets. Included in one of the Ten Commandments is keeping Shabbos, but last week we discussed how the whole experience of receiving the Torah very much connects to the theme of Shabbos. I don't want to get into it this week, but the overall theme of receiving the Torah definitely connects to Shabbos. But now we'll continue. Klil tif eres b'rosho nasata. When he comes down, what does he receive? He receives this crown. He comes down from the mountain, he has this crown, he has this radiance on his face also. So much so that from that experience, it was such a transformative experience that the people aren't even able to look at him because he has this radiance on his face. The Torah tells us that the people were not able to look at him. He had to cover his face with a mask because he has this glow on himself. So it's like looking at the sun, you know, you can't even look at the sun, so you weren't able to look at Moshe's face. And it says that the crown is on his head. So if you look at, in the English translation, it says that the crown is on his head. If you look at the Hebrew, it says, Klil tif eres b'rosho nasata. What is b'rosho?
In
his head. It's not on his head. Usually when you have a crown, you put the crown on your head. It says here, the language here is that the crown, the English is not a correct translation, it's really the crown is in his head. So what exactly does that mean, that you have a crown in your head?
It's
chokhmah. Maybe it's wisdom. We'll see. You have a crown in your head. That's what it's. That's the literal translation.
Like the aura reading.
Yeah, glowing. Yeah. The glowing. Yeah. So, exactly. So it's not necessarily the crown which is on top of his head, but it's not necessarily something, the physical crown, but it's something which is in his head. Mm-hmm. So we'll just.
What was in his head?
It's not necessarily something physical. You said chokhmah, wisdom. It's that radiance. We'll explain it further in a minute. If you skip to the second source, on the bottom page here. So this is from the Gemara. This is from the Talmud in in tractate Brachos, Mesachos Brachos 17a, and it's discussing what's going to happen in the next world. What's going to happen in the next world in Olam Haba? It tries to give you a description of what will happen in Olam Haba. So it says as follows. This is in the next source, source 2. So you can see it in the English inside. Meragle Bepume de Rav. It was, you know, Rav, this is what he always spoke about. This was, you know, when he gave his sermon, this was a go-to topic that he would speak about. Lo kol mazeh olam haba. This world is not like the world to come. It's not like the next world. Olam haba, the next world, ein bo lo achila v'lo shtia v'lo peria v'ribya v'lo maseh matan v'lo kina v'lo sina v'lo tachros. The next world, there's no eating, there's no drinking, you know, physical pleasures. There's no business, no transactions, no jealousy, no hatred, no competition. That does not exist in the next world. Nothing physical. What is in Olam Haba? What's in the next world? Elot tzadikim yoshvim, tzadikim sit, ve'atroseihem birosheihem. Again, here it says that the crowns are birosheihem, in their heads. Again, the English translation here is incorrect, but the literal translation is that the crowns are in their heads. V'nanin miziv hashchina, and they enjoy the ziv hashchina, the radiance of the divine, of the shchina. Shenemar v'yechzu es halokim v'yochlu v'yishtu. That they, and he quotes a verse here, which is actually a verse in the Torah, that they would look at Hashem. And so, referring to at Har Sinai. So the description that's given for what's going to happen in Olam Haba, in the next world, is that it's not a physical world, according to this opinion. It's not a physical world, but we just have the righteous. They sit with their crowns in their head, not on their head, but the crowns are in their head, just like Moshe is described in the Tefillah as having a crown in his head. So too, the righteous in the world to come will have a crown in their head. And again, it's not physical, because it's not a physical world. So it can't be referring to something which is physical, but it's some sort of spiritual metaphor. It's a connection to Hashem that they get that radiance from Hashem, and they v'nanim miziv hashchina, and they enjoy the ziv hashchina, the splendor, the radiance of the divine, of Hashem. So again, here too, when it gives the description, it's also in the head. That's one example. And the idea behind that, we might get to source 3, but the idea behind that, that it's in your head, what is the Hebrew word for face? Panim. What does panim really mean?
Panim, head.
Instead. Panim is face, but the literal translation of panim is that it's inside, within, right? And the reason behind that, why specifically the face, is because it's from the facial expressions that you're able to understand what's going on the inside. That the outer expressions reveal what's going on the inside. Although I went to a lecture two nights ago where they say nowadays, because of social media, people have a hard time figuring out exactly what's going on the inside based on facial expressions, but... but you have emojis to figure out what people.
Don't you find people like I don't know. I don't think people's face really is always so revealing. People really.
You could fake it. You could definitely fake it. But if you want to fake it, you could fake it. But if you're in a state where you don't mind, you know, revealing your inside, so then the way you express it outwardly is very much from your facial expression. I'm not saying you can't fake it, but. If you want to show who you are on the inside, so then you use your facial expressions to show that. And so the face, when we have the crown on the head, so what it's really saying is that whether it's literal or not, it could be taken literally, but it's really there to tell you about, it's reflecting what's really going on the inside. You could have a crown, it's possible Moshe had a crown.
Illuminates.
But, I'm sorry?
It illuminates.
It illuminates, yeah. So it's really an expression, the outward appearance is really an expression of what's going on the inside. And Moshe, when he comes down with the Luchos, when he comes down from Har Sinai with the tablets, so then that's really what's going on in the inside. It's some radiance on the inside, some connection to Hashem, this spiritual connection to Hashem, which is the same connection which is described as what will happen in the times of Olam Haba, in the next world. That same experience, the same description that's used for Olam Haba, for what will happen in the next world, that's the description that's used for when Moshe comes down from Har Sinai. He has that transformative experience, something fundamentally changed within Moshe, that as he comes down with the Luchos, that he had that experience of talking directly with Hashem. And so that's what's being relayed here in that sentence.
Does it discuss further what that means in terms of the crown? How one achieves that?
So it's a good question. I assume how did Moshe get it? He got it from that intense relationship with Hashem when he was on the mountain. So then he was, again, also even on the mountain, it says that he didn't eat or drink either on the mountain. It was not a physical, for 40 days and 40 nights, he removed himself from that physical experience. But for us, the way we receive that is, we could receive that also through having that relationship with Hashem. It's not going to be, we might not reach the level of Moshe, but we, on our own level, so then we could, when we work on ourselves, so then that impacts who we are, and then in Olam Haba, in the next world, so then we could have that crown and also have that experience where we have that crown. And we have that inner change within us. It's about an inner change, that inner radiance that Moshe experienced, that we could experience in Olam Haba, in the next world. The next source, I'm not going to read it inside, but just, I'm not going to read it inside. It's another Gemara in Tractate Brachos. It's in source 3 on the second page. It discusses the value of tefillin, of wearing tefillin, and how tefillin is also provides strength to the Jewish people. And that the tefillin sheberosh is also providing strength for the Jewish people. Over here too, the language that's used, if you just look, I'll just say it in the, I'll quote the last line, because I wanted it for the last line, this is in source 3. It says that the strength that's given for the Jewish people is elu tefillin sheberosh. This is the tefillin which is on the head. Right, this is referring to the tefillin which is on the head. Again, here too, what's the language that's used? Tefillin sheberosh. It's not tefillin which is al harosh, which means tefillin on the head. It's tefillin sheberosh, which is inside the head. So it's not just referring to tefillin on the outside. The idea is that through wearing tefillin and through other mitzvot, so then the tefillin is not, tefillin is the outward expression of having essentially that crown on your head through tefillin. But it's really, the idea is that it should have some sort of impact inside. It should really become tefillin which is inside of your head. It should have that impact where what the tefillin represents is really going inside of the head. It's not just an outward expression, but it really comes inside. And that's why for all three of these examples, it doesn't say the crown is on the head or the tefillin's on the head, but it really says that it's in the head. It's supposed to have some impact on the inside. And I didn't quote it, but Maimonides, the Rambam, has a description of what it means to be like the ultimate spiritual Jew. He says that he describes it as a person who has their talis on and their tefillin on. I'm sorry, women can't relate as much, but and the mezuzahs are around. That you could relate to. The mezuzahs are around. And the point is that you're completely surrounded by mitzvos, and you represent somebody who's completely involved with those mitzvos, and that creates the ultimate experience. So it's not necessarily specifically tefillin and wearing a talis. It could apply to everybody, where they have that experience where they're surrounded by mitzvos, and that's the ultimate level. That's the highest level that a person can reach. And so that's the experience that Moshe had as he was coming down from the mountain. Let's continue. That's all within that one sentence. Klil Tiferes B'Roshona Sata. When he had this crown on his head, in his head, that was given to him when he comes down. Ba'amdo lefanecha, going back to page 1, the first verse, first paragraph, it says, Ba'amdo lefanecha lahar Sinai. When did he receive this crown? When he was standing in front of you, in front of Hashem, at Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai. And so it was through that experience of standing in front of Hashem, by the fact that he was standing in front of Hashem, because of that experience of confronting Hashem, so he was able to receive those the crown. It was through that experience, that transformative experience, that he received the crown. Ushne luchos avanim harib yado. And he brought down with him two of the tablets, of the stone tablets. He brought down biado in his hand. So some explain that there's a description here of holding it in his hand, and also the crown on his head. So the fact that it's on his hand and his head, that also represents a similar description of tefillin. Tefillin is on your hand and on your head. So it's a similar description there. Yechasuv behem shmirah shabbos, and in it is written, within the luchos, you have one of the Ten Commandments is keeping Shabbos. V'chein kasuv b'sorasecha, as it is written in the Torah. And we're going to then quote the next paragraph is going to quote where the concept of Shabbos is in the Torah. So it mentions the keeping of Shabbos as it's written in your Torah. So this is all referring to when he comes down from Har Sinai, right? He has this experience at Har Sinai. He brings down the Luchos with him, which has the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments is keeping Shabbos. What's very strange, which also if I have time to show you the video, it's also going to discuss this. What's very strange is that the next paragraph is not the paragraph of Shabbos in terms of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was received in a couple weeks ago, in the Parsha a few weeks ago, in Parsha Yisro, when we received the Ten Commandments. There it has a description of Shabbos. That's not the next paragraph. And that's what you would assume would be the next paragraph. You would assume, what are they going to quote from the Torah? They'll quote from the Torah what it says about Shabbos in terms of the Ten Commandments. But it doesn't mention that. It doesn't mention that paragraph. What it mentions is a paragraph from this week's Parsha. A few Parshas after the whole experience of coming down from Har Sinai. And it's something from this week's Parsha. And there's a big question. Many of the commentators ask, why? Why doesn't it just quote the verses, the psukim from when we received the Torah, from when we received the Ten Commandments, why does it skip over to this week's Parsha? So there are a few answers which are given. I'll give a few of the answers, and then maybe we'll see the video to give a different answer. But why specifically this paragraph? So one answer is just historically. The Ten Commandments, at a certain point in time, was viewed as, there was a concern that it would be viewed as, these are the Ten Commandments, and that's it. That's all you have to keep. And that, you know, that's of highest priority, and everything else is of limited importance. It's less significant. So in order to make sure that people don't think that way, so they didn't want to, one explanation is they didn't want to quote psukim, verses from the Ten Commandments. They wanted to quote other psukim, other verses. So we don't want to show how it's true the Ten Commandments are important, are very important, but the rest of the Torah is also very important. And so therefore they quote psukim not from the Ten Commandments. There's a similar idea that it depends on the synagogue, but there's a question as to whether one should stand up when they read from the Torah the Ten Commandments. There's a question, should you stand up, should you not stand up? Because if you stand up, maybe people will think that this is of greater importance than the rest of the Torah. I think a lot of shuls do have the custom to stand up. But there are some that have the custom not to stand up because of this very reason. I think in Charit said that they don't stand.
Stand up for what?
When reading the Torah?
The Ten Commandments. Oh, only the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, they stand up.
I think they tell you to stand up, yeah.
Stand up, yeah.
Yeah. Another explanation that's given is that when it mentions it in the Ten Commandments, it's mentioned in the singular. It says, in terms of keeping Shabbos, it says it in the singular, as if it's talking to Moshe. And so we quote this because this is, in the plural, talking to everybody. So it's for everyone to realize that this is not just for Moshe, this is really for everybody. This is a mitzvah for everybody. Those are some of the explanations, and perhaps we'll see the video which has a different explanation. So let's go through this paragraph. V'shamer b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. The Jewish people will observe the Shabbos. They'll keep the Shabbos. Shamar, what is shamar? It's not just to guard. They'll guard the Shabbos. So to guard can mean different things. Guarding the Shabbos means that it's not just on Shabbos that you're keeping Shabbos, but you're making sure that Shabbos is ready, which means that you have to prepare from before Shabbos. I just, in a conversation that I had recently, someone said that in order to really experience Shabbos, you can't just go to someone's house for a meal. You have to, you gotta cook Thursday night also. It requires, it's the whole deal. You gotta cook, you gotta shop, you gotta cook. It's really, that is all part of the, gotta clean, that's all part of the Shabbos experience. And so that's what one explanation in Vishamru is that you have to guard Shabbos. You also have to, from before Shabbos. There's others who explain that you have to guard Shabbos, it means that you have to accept Shabbos a little bit early, which is what we do. When we say candlelighting time, that's really 18 minutes before the actual time that that Shabbos starts. So it's about guarding Shabbos means taking it on a little bit earlier. That's all Vishamru B'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. If you turn the page to the final source, to source 4, this is coming from the Gemara, from the Talmud. It says, Rav Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, an Amora from the times of the Gemara, this rabbi, Rav Shimon ben Menasseh, says, Vishamru B'nei Yisrael to Shabbos, the Jewish people kept the Shabbos. What does this mean? Amr Torah, Chilo lav Shabbos achas, kidei sheyishmor Shabbos harbe. This is the source to the fact that if someone there's a pikuach nefesh, if there's someone that's seriously ill, you're allowed to violate Shabbos. What's the reason that you're allowed to violate Shabbos? You're not allowed to violate Shabbos. And so the explanation is, you can violate Shabbos this week in order for them to safeguard it, in order for them to keep Shabbos in the future. So therefore, you're allowed to violate Shabbos if someone is very sick, is deathly ill, so then you're allowed to violate Shabbos this week. And the reason behind it, the logic behind it is, to safeguard Shabbos. It's about safeguarding Shabbos so that they're able to observe Shabbos in the future. And so that's also part of the idea of Vishamru B'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. It's coming from this very verse that you safeguard Shabbos because you're even allowed to violate Shabbos. In certain cases, you safeguard Shabbos by violating Shabbos because you're allowed to violate Shabbos in order to observe Shabbos in the future.
Well, you saved life.
By saving life, exactly, by saving life. Going on, la'asos es ha-shabbos, l'dorosam bris olam. You do Shabbos. La'asos es ha-shabbos means you make Shabbos. The way you make Shabbos, it sounds like it's proactive. It's not just resting, but you have to proactively make Shabbos. Shabbos is not just purely rest, but you have to be proactive in making Shabbos. L'dorosam bris olam. This is a covenant which will last forever. What is L'dorosam Bris Olam? What does it mean forever? So some say that this is, by keeping Shabbos, this will last forever into the ultimate Shabbos of the times of Mashiach. This is referring to, by keeping Shabbos, it will last forever into the times of Mashiach, which is the Yom Shekulo Shabbos. That's the day which is completely Shabbos. That's where 24-7 is Shabbos. And others explain that it's not referring to the times of Mashiach, but for future generations. If you keep Shabbos now, then you'll be able to pass it on for future generations. It's about the ability to pass it on. And so the way we pass it on is by keeping it now, you'll pass it on for future generations. And the third explanation is that by keeping Shabbos now, you yourself will be able to keep Shabbos next week. It's from week to week, and that experience of keeping Shabbos from week to week with the 6 days in between, so then that's a greater experience than just the one Shabbos. So whether either it's referring to the times of Mashiach, for future generations, or for yourself in the future, it's saying that by making Shabbos now, it'll impact the future. Going on, Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael Osi Liolam. This is a covenant between me and the Jewish people, which will last forever. This is going back to, we're on page 1, the second paragraph, the first source. Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael Osi Liolam. This is a covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people.
What's the difference between the oath and believe?
So, oath is a sign. So it's not really a covenant. It's less of a covenant. Covenant means that there's a back and forth. Oath is really a sign. This is a sign to the uniqueness of the relationship with the Jewish people. Again, we mentioned this last week that Shabbos is a gift specifically to the Jewish people. I think we mentioned that non-Jews are not allowed to observe Shabbos. It's specifically a gift for the Jewish people. Why? Because Hashem, again, He made the world in 6 days. Hashem rested on the seventh day after creating the world in 6 days. So too, we observe Shabbos. He rested. Just one last point before I'll show you the video. he rested on the seventh day, vayinafash, and then it repeats it that he rested again. Why does it repeat the fact that he rested again? It said he rested. So why the repetition? So there are two explanations that I saw behind this. One is that for Shabbos there's a lot of twos. The two is a big number for Shabbos, and part of the idea behind that is shamor v'zachar. There's two sides of the same coin, but the two aspects to Shabbos. One is resting, and then there's also the active observance of Shabbos. There's davening, kiddush, studying Torah. So those are two sides of the same coin. It's not just pure rest, but it's also being proactive within that rest in terms of observing Shabbos for kiddush, showing that you're observing Shabbos. And so that could be what Hashem is referring to here, those two aspects. Or it's Shabbos in action. The second explanation is that it's Shabbos in action, and also Shabbos in thought, that we do Shabbos in action, but it also has an impact on our thought. Our thought process also has to be different in Shabbos. We can't just think about everything else that's going on in our lives, and then we're not actually in a state of peace within ourselves. So it's the active rest, and then there's that state of peace within us.
Nofesh means like vacation.
Nofesh. Yeah. 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 So those are the two explanations.
It's mental. Yeah.
It's mental state. Yeah. So those are the first two paragraphs of the Shacharit Shmoneh Esrei. There's still more paragraphs, but I'll show you this video for 10 minutes.